In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
You've been wound up in wires. Today is the feast that the church celebrates of Mary Magdalene. The feast of Mary Magdalene. What do we know about this woman? I'm going to tell you, she was a woman in love. And unfortunately, the world has messed it up. They said that she was the bride of Christ, literally. The world has messed it up. She was a woman that the scripture says was possessed with seven demons. She was perfectly possessed. That's what she was. Perfectly possessed. That's what she was. And her only hope was Jesus. Her only hope was Jesus. And somewhere along the line, Jesus brought her into sanity, into wholeness, into peace. Some people would call it recovery, but it was more than recovery. It was the presence of God. And she would follow him wherever he went, because she knew that her whole life depended upon this Jesus. She knew what she was before, perfectly out of her mind, perfectly possessed, crazy as a loon. But you know what? Wherever he went, she went. She knew that without him, she couldn't deal with life. She couldn't continue. She knew this. She knew this. And so she was one of the women that followed him. She was one of the women who prepared the food for him and for the needs of Jesus. And we see her under the cross. The scripture says that neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Clopas. There they were under the cross. You see, you can only understand the cross when you're under the cross. To understand means to be under the cross. And she was there. Her beloved was being literally mauled, destroyed, nailed, crucified, whipped, crowned with thorns. It was her beloved. It was her beloved. She needed him so much. What would she do now? What would she do now when he bowed his head and gave up his spirit? What would she do now? He was gone. And so the scripture says, early in the morning on the first day of the week, before the sun had risen, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She came to the tomb. It was her only hope. He was dead, but now at least she wanted to see his body. She wanted to embalm his body. She wanted to do what they couldn't do the other day. And she came early. And the stone, the scripture says, was rolled away from the tomb. And there were angels, and the angel said unto the woman, "Why do you weep, woman?" Then the angel asked her such an important question. "Whom do you seek?" God asks us that same question. Whom do you seek? Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? She said, "Sir, sir, if you have taken him, show me where you placed him." And there's Jesus comes. "Why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" "Sir, sir, if you have taken him away, show me where he is." And he says one word, "Mary." Like nobody else could say her name, Mary. And she cries out, "Rabboni." And then the first thing she wants to do is she wants to touch him. Oh, she wants to touch him. And she goes to his feet. She falls at his feet. He said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brothers that I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Let me tell you something that I believe. Like at Cana, our Lord Jesus had not come into his time, but yet he did what our Blessed Mother asked. And now, our Lord Jesus, after he rose from the dead, was on his way back to the Father. And the love of this woman drew him to her. The love of this woman. Love draws Jesus. Love draws Jesus. Only love draws Jesus. The love of this woman drew him to her. It changed his plans. How do I know that? Because when Thomas is there, he says, come touch me. And what does that mean? He's already ascended to the Father. Because now he's gone back to God and come back. This is what the Bible teaches. This is the Word of God. He's ascended to the Father and he comes back. Sir, show me where you placed him. I want to see him again. I'm desperate. I want to know where he lies. Would you just show me? From the Song of Solomon, this is Mary Magdalene's cry. On my bed at night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise and I will go about the city. I will go about the streets. I will go about the crossings. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, and I did not find him. And the watchmen came upon me as they made their rounds of the city. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Have you seen Jesus? Have you laid eyes upon him? I had hardly left them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him, and I would not let him go. I tell you, love draws Jesus. It's always love that draws Jesus. Not intellect, not money. Love draws Jesus, and only love draws Jesus. Where you find people who love him, he is drawn to them. And sometimes he may hide, and we need to speak the words, have you seen him whom my soul loves? Have you seen him? And you know, sometimes he hides from us. And that's not a bad thing, because then we have to walk by faith and not by our feelings, because we have to walk by what we know and not by what we feel. We have to walk by what we do not see rather than what we see. Oh yes, it's wonderful to be filled with God. There's nothing like it. But sometimes he hides his face. He hides his face. But that doesn't mean he's gone. That doesn't mean he's left. It just means he trusts you. He trusts you that you're going to seek him even when he seems far away. Even when he seems like he took a long lunch break. Even when everybody else is getting blessed and you're not getting blessed. Will you seek me? Will you love me? Yes. Will you come to me? Yes, will you cry out for me? Will your heart pant for me? Yes, like the deer that pants for the running streams. Yes. Will your heart pant for me? Will you be like the dry desert land without water, parched, crying out for my mercy, for my love? Will you be that lover that draws me wherever you go, wherever you are? Will you be that person that will just decide to love me? Just to love me. Just to love me. just to love me. That's all I want, is that you love me. I tell the story so often of Margaret Mary Alcott, the one who had the vision of the Sacred Heart. And when he appeared to her with his lanced heart, he pointed to the heart that is loved unto death and said, "See the heart that has loved men so and has been so little loved in return. See the heart that has loved men so and been so little loved in return. See the heart that has loved men so and has been so little loved in return." I just want to tell you, things haven't changed. That's why love draws them. That's why, you know, when people come off the streets and they're on drugs and alcohol and whatever they're into, and then they turn to Jesus and they realize it's Jesus. Oh, and he touches them. Their love calls out to him and he lavishes them with all the love. And then they go to the church and they go to the ones been preaching the word of God, really preaching the word of God. They go and tell them, "Oh, Jesus, he came to me. I was in the middle of sin. He came. I'm lavished with the love of God. I can only call on his name and love him in the morning and love him." And then the preacher, the priest, looks and says, "I've been in this for years. I've been preaching the word of God. Why you?" Because love draws Jesus. Not my words, not my preaching. Love draws Jesus. Love causes Jesus to change his plans. Now, I know that's not theologically correct. That's not theologically correct. But love draws Jesus to do what my friends that never would get done, that never could get done. I tell you the story about this priest on the way to the missions in South America. And he didn't have the correct visa. And he said, "This plane will not move until I'm on it." But Senior Walsh told the story. One of his classmates, they all thought he was nuts. And so the plane started, but it wouldn't move. And so they called the mechanics in. Have you ever been on the runway when the mechanics come in? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then they start serving you drinks. "Oh yeah, we've been there." Mechanics, "There's nothing wrong with the plane." Then start it up, starts up, doesn't move. Priest says, "I told you that plane's not moving until I'm on it. I've got an appointment with people. They're waiting for me. And I tell you, that plane's not moving until I'm on it." They called in more mechanics. Find the bug in the plane. Now the people are getting riled up. Have you ever seen it happen? Everybody gets fidgety. The drinks aren't long enough. The place is hot. The air conditioner's not working. Finally, they said, "Bring them on! Bring them on!" Comes on. They start up the plane. Takes right off. Now I'm going to tell you, that's crazy. But that's God. This plane ain't moving till I'm on it. I got an appointment with people. Love draws Jesus. And he'll stop planes if he has to. If you've got an appointment with God and for his people, he'll do that. He'll go out of his way to do that. We're on our way back from Italy, Father Matt and I. I'm in one direction of the airport and he's in the other direction. He's in the right direction and I'm in the wrong direction. We're already late for the plane. They're calling my name on the PA system. Father Di Lorenzo, Father Di Lorenzo. I said, Mamma mia, I'm in the wrong place. So I had to go walk to the other end of the airport. It was crazy. And there's all the people. You know, you got to go through the turnstile. You got to have your things. I said, Mi scusi. I'm going through all these people. And, you know, Italian people. We're not the easiest people to deal with. I go through and I'm running and they're saying, the last time, Father Di Lorenzo. I get on that plane, I'm telling you, the people hated me. And I'm saying, mi scusi. I tell you what God will do. What God will do for those who love Him. What God will do for those who love Him. Monsignor Walsh tells another story. I love this story because this is. If you thought the first one was crazy, this is even more crazy. Three missionaries were on their way to go to celebrate the Eucharist. A priest and two sisters. And all the people were waiting. They didn't often get a priest. So they were on their way. But it had been the rainy season. And the rainy season had come and the river was flowing. And the priest had all the stuff in his suitcase, you know, and the sisters were there and they're thinking, can we ford the river? Can we get across the river? They said, yeah, we've done it before and it looks like the same. We'll be able to do it. Well, do you know what happened? They're going into the river. And now they're over their heads and they're in quicksand and they're going under. And the next thing, they're on the shore. How could it be? To this day when they meet every year, they said, do you remember? Did that really happen? Yeah, we were being drawn by the quicksand. We were over our heads. And the next thing, we're on the shore. I tell you what God will do for those who love Him. What God will do for those who just make that choice to love Him. When you wake up in the middle of the night, just say, I love you, Lord Jesus. I just love you so much, Jesus. I want to tell you, I want to love you more. I love you. Come and kiss me, Lord, with the kisses of your mouth. Come, Lord, and be drawn. Be drawn to me, Lord. I'm so needy. This is the Song of Solomon. It's so beautiful. Song of Solomon is so beautiful. Listen to what it says, you know. I know this is hard for men, but you know what? Get over it. We're all part of the bride of Christ. There's no other groom but Jesus. So you got to get over it. Got to get over it because we're all part of the bride. Whether you don't like that, I'm going to tell you, we're on the receiving end. He's the giver. And I know that's against our biology, but you know what? Against our anatomy, but that's too bad. Listen to what it says. Come and kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. More delightful is your love than wine. Your name, Jesus, doesn't say that, I just said it. Jesus, spoken is like spreading perfume. Your name is like spreading perfume. That's why the maidens love you. Draw me, draw me. and I will follow eagerly. Draw me, bring me into the king's chambers. With you we will rejoice and exult. Oh, I'm dark, but I'm lovely. Oh, daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Salma, do not stare at me because I am swarthy, because the sun has burned me. My brothers have been angry with me. They charged me with the care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I have not cared for. Tell me, whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you give them rest at midday, lest I be found wandering after the flocks of your companions? Jesus, show me where you are now. Show me where you're dwelling. Like it says in John, come and see. That's where I want to be. Draw me where you are, Lord. And it might not be in a lofty place. It might be in the middle of some place that you don't want to be. But that's where Jesus is now. Draw me after you, Lord. I want to know where you pasture your flock. Listen to what it says. If you do not know where I pasture my flock, O most beautiful among women, then follow the tracks of the flock and pasture the young ones near the shepherd's camp. You want to know where I am? Follow the sheep that follow me. That's where I am. You want to know where I am? I'm with the sheep that follow me. That's where I am. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I was being aborted, you were there saying, I can help you. You want to know where I am? I'm going to tell you where I am. I'm where I pasture my sheep. Oh, it's a dirty place. It's not a place that's very clean. It's not antiseptic, because if you think you're going to follow Jesus and you're going to live in an antiseptic world, you're not following Jesus, because there's nothing antiseptic about Jesus. I tell you, when he took on human flesh, I'm going to tell you, all the antiseptic stuff went away, because people are messy. We're all messy. I don't know if you noticed it. We're all messy. Yeah, we all leak. We all ooze. You know, if I were God, I wouldn't go become a man, I don't think. Of course I would, because I would be God. But in my mind, I would want something else rather than these messy sheep. You want to follow me? You want to know where I am at midday? Follow the flock. See where the flock is. That's where I am. But Lord, I don't see you. That's right. I'm hiding, but I'm there. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That's where I am, where my flock is. Go tend my sheep. Simon, do you love me?
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Go feed my sheep. Simon, are you sure you love me? Yes, Lord. Tend my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of my sheep. I'm going to tell you, it's not very glamorous. If people are looking for glamour, my Lord. But it's wonderful. It's fulfilling. It's beyond your expectations. It's God-like. I love these people that have gone to heaven. It's wonderful. Oh yeah, they've gone to heaven. They've seen the glory. I think it's so beautiful.
I do thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. This is Father Tom, and I'm really grateful to be able to come into your homes to proclaim the Word of God. At this point, we have not received enough money for our June bills, and we have not even begun to receive money for our July bills. So if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. As I've told you before, I cannot go into debt, and if I have to cut out stations, I will have to do that. So, if this broadcast is a blessing, If you've never written, please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do want to tell you that every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the month of August, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, praising God, for He is glorious and triumphant. I do also want to remind you about Jimmy the Roofer. And as I told you, you know, he did a job that should have been $20,000, and it wasn't even near that. And winter is coming, and he's taking appointments because he can only do so much. And his telephone number is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. And don't get caught with a hole in your roof. 617-519-0341. And again, I do need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May the Lord bless you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.